fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Boston Red Sox beat the visiting Los Angeles Dodgers Tuesday night 8-4 in Game 1 of Major League Baseball's World Series. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Game 1 of the World Series goes to the Red Sox after their 8-4 win over the Dodgers. Xander Bogaerts snapped a 3-all tie for Boston with his bases loaded, force out in the 6th. Pinch hitter Eduardo Nunez broke the game open with his 3-run homer in the 7th.
I thought it was going to be a single because the walk was too high, and I know it was a slow ball, and When I see the ball is going, I was excited because I didn't expect the ball going away.
Red Sox starter Chris Sale outdueled LA's Clayton Kershaw with 4 innings of 3-run ball.
He's their best, and he's probably the best in the game. So anytime you can go out there and do something like that, it's huge. It just speaks volumes about our hitters and their approach, and they never back down. They never give up. They don't care who's out there. They're grinding.
Kershaw allowed 5 runs over 4 frames.
You know, we won game 1 last year and lost the series, so, you know, maybe we'll try it out this way, see if we can win one.
Manny Machado had 3 RBIs, and Matt Kemp hit a solo homer for the Dodgers.
We got great pitchers. They got great pitchers. This is going to be a fight, man. This is not going to be easy. You know, they got the best record in all of baseball, and we have a pretty good record and a pretty good team, so, you know, we got to keep this thing going.
Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. One of the Red Sox spark plugs at the plate in Game 1 of baseball's World Series was outfielder Andrew Benintendi, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers.
In his first World Series game, Andrew Benintendi was the offensive catalyst in the Red Sox Game 1 win over the Dodgers. The Boston outfielder had 4 hits, drove in the first run of the game, and scored 3 times.
I'm just glad we won. You know, it starts with guys around you, Mookie getting on base, putting more pressure on the pitcher, and you know, and you got guys like, you know, Steve Pearson and JD behind me. It, you know, makes my job a little more easy.
With 2 men aboard in the 7th, pinch hitter Eduardo Nunez homered over the Green Monster off Alex Wood, turning a 5-4 Red Sox lead into an eventual 8-4 win. Clayton Kershaw took the loss after giving up 5 runs over 4 innings. Mark Myers, Boston.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Game 2 in Major League Baseball's 114th World Series will be later Wednesday night at historic Fenway Park in Boston. Fenway officially opened in 1912 and is the oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. And here are a few more historic fun facts about the World Series for our Voice of America listeners. This is the first World Series meeting between the Red Sox and the Dodgers since 1916, when the Dodgers were based in Brooklyn, New York, and known as the Robins. And for our VOA listeners keeping score, none other than the legendary Babe Ruth pitched 13 shutout innings for the Red Sox in Game 2 of the 1916 World Series, which the Red Sox won 2-1 in 14 innings. Boston won the 4th of its 8 World Series titles in 1916, beating Brooklyn 4-1. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Yeah.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The energetic Andy Edwards is packing his bags for Germany, and coverage of Sunday's BMW Frankfurt Marathon. Now, energetic Andy also traveled last month to Germany, where he witnessed two world records at the BMW Berlin Marathon. Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya smashed the marathon world record in Berlin, where he clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. Kipchoge is one of the nominees announced this week by the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, for its Male World Athlete of the Year Award. The prize will be presented in Monaco on December 4th. But getting back to Berlin, the energetic Andy Edwards also witnessed another world record in the women's wheelchair race. Manuela Schaar of Switzerland successfully defended her women's wheelchair race title in Berlin in a world record time of 1 hour, 36 minutes, and 53 seconds. In the men's wheelchair race in Berlin, Canada's Brent Lacatos claimed his first major marathon victory, finishing in 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 41 seconds. Energetic Andy also caught up with Lacatos after his win. Here's Andy.
Talking with the winner of the men's wheelchair title of the BMW Berlin Marathon, and that's a Canadian, Brent Lacatos, who first time he was in Berlin, finished seventh, but now he's top of the podium. Now, maybe I don't want to injure your pride, but some people are saying it's a surprise win. You've been competing a couple of weeks ago in Zurich in Switzerland on the Diamond League on the track, but when we were talking about pre-race favourites, you weren't hot in there. So how do you rate your own win?
Well, it's a surprise for me also. I haven't been doing marathons long. Like you said, last year was my first Berlin and my first marathon. I've been doing track for a while, and so I'm making my transition now to the marathons. And this was going to be my test to see if I could keep on doing it for the Tokyo 2020 Paralympics, and I'm going to.
What's your situation in Canada? I mean, are you earning a living from wheelchair racing? You talk about, obviously, Tokyo 2020 Paralympics, big goal for everybody, but do you have to do a full-time job or a job to support yourself?
I actually live in Great Britain. Yeah, and so my wife's British, and we live up in Loughborough by the training center there. And I don't work full-time. I work part-time also, and working for a North American company, so I can do my training and everything I need to do in the mornings and then work in the afternoons and evenings.
I think anybody who follows wheelchair elite racing, we know you have people like Marcel Hu, David Weir of Britain, Marcel's from Switzerland, and yourself. You do both track and the road. After this win in Berlin, and Berlin's a big title to win, how do you see yourself? Are you still an all-rounder? Are you now saying for the Paralympics, I concentrate on the marathon?
No, I am not giving up on the track. I like the track. I like marathons also, but I'm going to try and do both. And I think wheelchair racing is a little bit different than running. Obviously, you're using your arms. They're a smaller muscle group. And so we can recover faster from bigger trainings because they are a smaller muscle group. And so it's possible for athletes to cover different distances and different surfaces also.
Just one last question. I mean, what do you make of the Berlin course? People talk about Berlin being fast, you know, whether you're a runner, wheelchair, seem to be pretty good conditions today, not too hot and dry road surface. Yeah. So you, as the wheelchair winner, how did you rate it?
I like Berlin. It is a nice course, and today was perfect conditions. There's not too much wind also, which is very helpful. It's very smooth, flat roads. And the little vibrations, you lose lots of energy in those being on wheels. And so the fact that the pavement is in such good condition helps us.
Well, many congratulations. All the best for those hopes. Tokyo Paralympics, it's getting closer, isn't it? 2 years from now. Brent, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Berlin Marathon men's wheelchair race winner Brent Lacatos in Germany. Brent tweeted the following after the race: "What an unbelievable experience. The Berlin Marathon has been an absolute pleasure to attend.
Voice of America!
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter and Facebook. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports, and my Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Multiple major marathon champion Tatiana McFadden of the United States had a tough time in the women's wheelchair race in Berlin. She finished in ninth place after racing in a borrowed wheelchair. Her own was damaged a day earlier in training.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African club football, Al Ahly of Egypt will play Esperance of Tunisia in the 2018 CAF Champions League final next month. The final will be contested over two matches. Al Ahly, winners of a record 8 Champions League trophies, will host the first leg in Egypt on November 2nd. And Esperance, a 2-time Champions League winner, will stage the second leg in Tunisia 1 week later on November 9th. Goal aggregate over the two matches will determine the winner, which will represent Africa at the FIFA Club World Cup in December in the United Arab Emirates. Now, in semifinal action on Tuesday, Al Ahly lost to host Entente Setif of Algeria 2-1, but it won the two-leg series on aggregate 3-2. Al Ahly's French coach, Patrice Carteron, said his players missed many chances and there were many mistakes. The French coach said, and I quote, "I will talk with the players about these mistakes and will do my best to end them before the final." In the other semifinal on Tuesday, host Esperance defeated Primeiro de Agosto of Angola 4-2 and won the series on aggregate 4-3. Primeiro's Serbian coach, Zoran Manolovic, harshly criticized the conditions at the Rades Stadium near Tunis, describing the match as, and I quote, "a terror film. Video footage shows flares and loud explosions going off throughout the match." Coach Manolovic said, and I quote, "It was everything, but not football. Many things happening off the field, bombs exploding off the field. I'd like the responsible people of CAF or FIFA to see the game. What happened here is a shame for football." I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to golf, the final tournament of the PGA Tour's 3-week Asia swing gets underway this week in Shanghai, China. Ahead of the lucrative event, some of the world's top golfers faced each other, interestingly, in another sport in Shanghai. Joining us with more is my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, five of the top six golfers in the world traded in their drivers for a casual game of badminton ahead of the upcoming World Golf Championships HSBC tournament. In what became a rematch between Europe and USA, golfers Dustin Johnson, Roy McIlroy, Francesco Molinari, Justin Rose, and Brooks Koepka transformed their golf swings into overhead volleys. The mission? To help merge China's popular sport of badminton with the region's growing game of golf. American Brooks Koepka said afterwards that while going head-to-head in badminton started off fun, there was definitely some friendly on-court competition between the two sides. The exhibition could be seen as a preview to some real competition coming up on the greens, and Koepka says he'll fight hard to hold on to the world number one spot.
You know, it's something I've been working for all year. Something I've worked hard at, and you know, I'm thankful to be number one. But you know, you want to stay up top at number one, so you just need to keep doing what I'm doing, keep playing well, and you know, hopefully grow that lead.
Earlier this month, rumors surrounded the Ryder Cup tournament that the relationship between Koepka and fellow American golfer Dustin Johnson had soured following Team USA's loss to Europe. But on Tuesday, Johnson confirmed things are all good between them and hinted that Koepka would be wise to keep a tight grip on that top spot.
He's played very well the last couple months, so it's obviously it's deserved. So it's not, you know, it's not anything, you know, it's, you know, definitely give your congratulations to him. You know, he's played very well. But for me, you know, I think I can take it back if I win this week. So
Dustin Johnson is set to be paired with Northern Ireland's Rory McIlroy, who is still riding high from his Ryder Cup victory with Europe.
You know, it's great to be a part of a winning team again. It doesn't feel very good to lose. They're some of the most fun weeks that I've ever had. And, you know, the whole team bonded really well that week. And, you know, it's been 3 weeks since. And, you know, it's good to be here and catch up with some of the guys. And, you know, I haven't seen them since. So it's always good. It's always good to be a part of those teams.
England's Justin Rose pulled off a shocking come-from-behind victory last year in Shanghai, and he says he's excited to make his return and defend the title.
You know, I'm always confident when I come to a tournament. I've been playing well the last year or so, but you know, you never can predict it. So it's difficult to predict. But I think I'm going to obviously prepare hard and focus, and hopefully have a little bit of luck, and we can do it again.
The WGC HSBC Champions is one of four World Golf Championships played around the globe and has become China's only major international golf event. Considered to be Asia's major, it attracts only the best golfers from around the world and is rated as one of the toughest tournaments to qualify. It also offers the richest prize purse in the region. 78 players will compete for the $10 million purse, $1.6 million of which will go to the winner. The four-day competition tees off on Thursday. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Detroit Pistons powered past the Philadelphia 76ers in overtime behind a career-high scoring performance by Blake Griffin. The AP's Denny Kopp reports from Detroit, Michigan.
Blake Griffin scores a career-high 50 points and hits the game-winning buckets to lift the Pistons past the 76ers 133-132 in overtime. Griffin carried a Pistons team that erased a 10-point second-half deficit to send the game to overtime and win it in dramatic fashion to improve to 3-0. Pistons guard Reggie Jackson admired the play of the Pistons all-star forward.
You got a guy like that, former number one pick. Like I said, a guy that had MVP effort. When he puts the team on his back, it's kind of easy. So we just all went out there and just continued to contribute, try to do our part. And, yeah, he did some heavy lifting.
After J.J. Redick converted on a four-point opportunity with 5.6 seconds left, Griffin faked a handoff, drove the lane, and scored on a layup to tie it and hit the game-winning free throw with 1.8 seconds left.
We believed this whole game. You know, I never saw like a moment where we were like, all right, well, we tried. Or there wasn't a moment where I saw a lot of times last year, you know, where guys were just kind of like defeated. Everybody stayed positive, and that's huge.
Denny Cobb, Detroit.
Thanks, Denny. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Philadelphia's young Cameroonian star Joel Embiid scored 33 points and grabbed 11 rebounds in that overtime loss to Detroit. And Philadelphia guard J.J. Redick scored 30 points. Redick says Blake Griffin was sensational with his 50-point performance.
He was phenomenal tonight. He did a little bit of everything, just ultra aggressive. I mean, he's, you know, of maybe every, then I don't mean to hyperbolize here, but maybe of every player I've ever been around in the NBA, I can't think of anyone that works harder than Blake.
In two more NBA results Tuesday night, the New Orleans Pelicans beat the visiting Los Angeles Clippers 116-109, and the Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Sacramento Kings 126-112. It was the fourth consecutive victory for the Nuggets, who are one of five unbeaten teams early in this NBA season. The New Orleans Pelicans, with three consecutive victories to tip off the season, are also unbeaten, as are the Detroit Pistons, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Toronto Raptors.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks, Dikembe. That's the Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Before Dikembe turned professional, he played college basketball right here in Washington for Georgetown University. I've had a chance to meet Dikembe a few times, most recently at the Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp held in early August in Johannesburg. And I also met Mutombo, coincidentally, again in Johannesburg after the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. I remember the giant Mutombo with his family at O.R. Tambo Airport outside Johannesburg. And Big Dikembe, he was waving his finger, telling his children, behave, not in my house, not in my house, said Dikembe. And they listened. They listened to Dikembe Mutombo. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a couple of nice photos of Brazilian football legend Pelé, who celebrated his 78th birthday on Tuesday. One of the photos shows a very young teenage Pelé with his hands around the World Cup trophy. It was taken in 1958. Pelé, of course, the only footballer in history to lift the World Cup trophy three times. He did it again in 1962 and 1970. And that wraps up the October 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Al Santos. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts
every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.